Hello, dear listener. Today's podcast is an interview that Aaron and I were able to record live and in person with Josh Flores and Laura Searcy. We did this at the McNellys in Midtown, Oklahoma City. It was a great time, but there could be some distracting background noise. I've cleaned up the audio as best I can, but here is our interview, basically unedited. Hang on for the ride, and we hope you enjoy it.
Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes. I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
So we are at McNellys. We're totally trying something new here. That's the background noise.
Are you starting the podcast?
I'm telling the people.
Okay,
this is recording.
Have you ever listened to Nerdist?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how they just start in the middle?
Yeah.
They start in the middle of the conversation.
You don't know a lot of editing if you just do that.
We're starting in the middle. I'm not editing this.
And I don't have to worry about the editing, so.
Aaron just talks. I do all the podcasts Aaron talks.
I like that.
It was my idea, but I was like, hey, Scott, you want to do this with me for us?
That's like me with Josh. Like, here's an idea. Can you make that a slide, please?
That is true.
Can you make me a slide of I can say
That's
this?
True.
And he did.
So I like to make the pictures.
Photoshop all these things into the emojis.
Yes. And I do. I just tweet some live emojis, and he flips them, and he edits them, and makes them work. I'm like, thanks.
I have cropped many of Bitmojis.
Can we make this really sad face Bitmoji carrying the books a happy face carrying books? He's like, on it.
No, that was wicked awesome.
Hey, what do you use to edit your Bitmojis? Do you put them in Photoshop, or do you use PowerPoint?
Oh, heck no. Keynote.
Keynote's the best.
Okay. Keynote's the best. Everything. All my visual editing happens in Keynote.
I like Keynote too. It's pretty easy. But that's what you use to get Laura's upside down Bitmoji.
Yeah.
Right side.
Yeah, and like cut it out.
Can you
and
make
the, like,
this happen?
The default preview thing in built into it. Mm-hmm. Remember that default preview thing is for PNG files.
Well, I hope that comes up in the Twitter chat.
Oh, we have so many
Bitmojis. We have a lot of Bitmojis. Like,
every slide has Bitmojis. Every question probably.
Do you save like your own Bitmoji files?
Yeah, I have like a file folder for like when we collaborate on that stuff. It's like we can go pick up those images out of it.
Right.
Or I just have like a special Keynote file saved where it's like, here's all our visuals for our collaborators. So I can go back and tweak them.
Did anybody here ever watch Lizzie McGuire?
Yes!
I feel like Bitmoji is like having a little Lizzie McGuire.
Yes, it does look like that. Yeah.
Wasn't she the teenage witch or whatever?
No.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Which one was that one?
She was just Sabrina.
Sabrina the teenage witch.
Yes.
With Melissa Joan Hart.
Is that something like Lisa Frank or something?
Oh, yes. The unicorns and the rainbows.
Yeah.
Totally. All right, so we're at McNellys. We've got the amazing Laura, the amazing Josh here with us, and we're just having dinner, having a conversation.
We're getting collaborated. We're collaborating
you're
together.
Collaborating. So your chat is collaborated. Collaborated.
Hashtag collaborated.
Is that a real hashtag, or did you guys make it up with this?
I mean, it might be a real hashtag. We make all of our work is based on hashtags, though, because we just want to build in our own promotionals. So we think of a word that can be a hashtag with ED at the end, and then we fill it full of research and build a program around that.
Okay, so...
So we have, like, Bitmojied, Hyperdoctus,
Argued, Informed,
Narrated.
Yeah, if we're in an adult establishment... We're adulting, we could have like drink ed.
Yes, we drink ed.
I think it'd be, would it be drunk?
drank.
Which is a grammar podcast.
Well,
yes.
Well, I'm drinking root beer.
Yeah.
It's true. All
right, yeah, there goes for our seven listeners and Aaron's parents.
Yeah.
She did order root beer. I'm really disappointed.
Since it's an adult night out.
Yes.
That's awesome.
No,
like my mom
I don't
never,
know if my
Josh,
is
no, it's
like
a
that.
Joke.
Well, because my mom never listened to my podcast.
We actually have more than four listeners. We just like to like humble ourselves and think that four people are all together.
Like, this is a podcast for our listener.
Yes.
Yeah. Mom.
Know your audience. The number one thing when you are presenting is to know your audience. So if you need root beer,
we hope all of our listener enjoy this podcast.
All of our listener.
Yeah.
I'm not a grammar guy, but you forgot the S on that word to make it plural.
Nope, I did. Wrong.
So what brought you two together? Like, you don't work together. You don't live near each other.
Well, actually, we do work. We have worked. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
I guess, technically. Yeah, we've been working together on a lot the past year.
Right, but what was the thing that brought you guys together?
Have you ever heard of Common Core?
Hashtag thanks, Common Core.
You know, people get all over Common Core, but it was good. It's
it
good
was
ideas.
Fine.
I don't understand, but that's another podcast.
It's a different podcast. Let's not get into arguing.
Yeah.
I have feelings about it, and I was definitely, I'm still in pro Common Core.
But standards is really what connected us, because I'm a standards nerd, and that we were rewriting the standards, and so we did a lot of professional development in groups, working on standards and frameworks. So that's how we initially met, and we realized I like to do research, and we both really get excited about reading nerdy books. And so, what else do you do when you have English teachers together? You talk about nerdy books.
I really nerd out. Laura was great because whenever we did work at the State Department, she was one of those like frequent flyers that would come and do work with me, along with like Jen Williams, Shannon Miller, Kelly Angley, like all those like good people. And yeah, we just kept on doing, we just ended up doing lots of PD. I think it got me hooked up with OEU.
Yes. So
that was like one of the first.
One of the first is they asked me to do a presentation on standards. I was like, well, what does one do when one is not the expert? They find a friend with whom they are an expert. So I was like, Josh, come co-present at this SOEA conference. And that's what really kind of allowed us to work together, is we realized that we needed two voices and two perspectives. And that was really helpful to have kind of the different experience levels.
Well, I think what the important part of that is that it didn't suck.
Yeah.
Like, you know how when
not
you collaborate,
sucking is important.
It's super important. Like you know how when you collaborate with another teacher and sometimes it sucks?
Or it's forced?
maybe one person had intentions and another person and
right. You just like butt heads, you have agendas. Like, and what I found was it was nice because all of my weaknesses are Laura's strengths.
Right.
So like I will throw a bunch of the ideas out, and she doesn't immediately like shoot it down. She nicely gives me feedback about what works, what doesn't, and offers a structure for it. And it made me a better presenter. And so that kind of just led into doing more presentations and work, because we just started talking about interests and issues we're interested in, and we just started exploring that.
Right, and then we started co-writing together, and we've published a couple of articles. So it's helpful to present, but then we started reading the same articles, and we started reading the same books, and that really helps.
I think I'm okay, but this is really good.
It is good. I'm not even
kidding.
I'll take an awesome
this.
To record it here.
I had the first.
I'm okay right now.
So yeah, we read the same books, we were writing on the same topics, and it was helpful just to have somebody you could talk to about common issues and common ideas. So
I think that never would have happened had we not had all the ridiculousness of Common Core going
on. Hashtag thanks, Common Core.
Thanks, Common Core.
Well, I wonder sometimes, too, like our Opal Ed chat that we're having, I wonder how it has it grown in relation to similar issues that we face in Oklahoma, you know, as it circles around education. Like, would it have grown without that?
Because we have a lot of issues that are pertinent, that need...
Right.
So problems bring us together.
Yeah.
I mean, that
you
it
know
was...
You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a state superintendent that was...
You
a
can say
a challenge.
It.
It was a challenge. She provided a challenging environment. And we had legislatures who bought into that.
Oh,
and,
man.
And made the environment more challenging. And so I just wonder if some of that, you know, the blogging and
well,
the tweeting and
you're
Opal
forced
Ed
to
came
collaborate.
From
in order to like have meaningful change, you need to work as a group and a team. I think Opal Ed has provided that teamwork approach to solving some of these issues.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
So I would agree with that, but I would also add, are you familiar with Dunbar's number and the research behind that?
No.
Is that like the golden ratio?
Maybe. That sounds really mathy. If you're talking about ratios, I'm still with numbers now, okay? English teacher. But so Dunbar's number is saying that you can't really have any meaningful relationships past 150 people.
Big bite.
And so I find that to be true, especially if you're introverted like myself, which is why we put that homework out to get your MBTI results, Myers-Briggs results, where, you know, when I'm in a large crowd, it's hard for me to connect. I get, like, exhausted. But if I'm working with, like, a small group, four people, three people, me and just one other partner, I feel like I get a lot more done, a lot more work done. Like, I have a voice. I don't get lost in the crowd. I don't have to, like, fight for air. And so I think about, yeah, all these problems bring us together, and it's nice to, like, voice those out. But then I also like to just go find a person that I can work with separately on, like, an issue. And really get in-depth conversations. And so I think that's what we did. It's like I was sharing with her like the problems that were coming up with the new standards. She had some research backing on implementing new standards and policy work. And so we had some really deep conversations. And so that spurred off this partnership. So we have a really good professional partnership too.
And I think that's important to know your personality and to know what working conditions are the best kind of suitable for you to be productive. Like, I know myself, I'm an introvert. I am best one-on-one. If I have to work in a group, like, I just don't collaborate well that way. So knowing who you are and what you need is really important.
So while I am an extrovert,
team extrovert,
we did this 360 rater. Have you guys heard of this? So there were 360 questions I had to answer to get my ENTP score.
Oh,
yeah, it was
you
a big
like a
ordeal.
Delicious cider.
Happily, yeah. If you want it on draft, or do you want it better in a
draft?
I only have one on draft.
Cool.
You want what?
I'll take that.
This one, the egg for Christmas. Yeah.
So it was a big deal to get my little ENTP. I was going through this leadership academy that UCO was putting on.
Okay.
And it was huge. But they showed where we fit in that extrovert. And so
yes.
Some people were way over here. I was as close to the middle as there was.
Oh.
And being
like one question different would have moved you.
You're an ambivert.
I am, yes.
You can ambi-turn.
I can't. I love presenting. Like, I love getting out, and I kind of go in this, like, blackout mode where I have no idea what I said whenever I was done with it, but I know it was fun. Anyway, and so my husband likes to, like, you know, he's like, oh my goodness, you feed off of these things, and I do, but I very much like to be at home and just sit and do nothing.
Yes.
Would you say that you work well in, like, large groups, or do you prefer to work in, like, small teams?
It depends on what we're doing. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've done both. Because
yeah,
you've done the ed camps, but yeah. It's obviously you have, like, close partnerships, right?
Yeah. So I can do both, but if it's...
Josh was pointing at me just now.
I was thinking about Anne, too, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're important as well.
It has anything to do with sports.
Art?
I don't
art
to be anything.
You're not artsy?
No.
Really?
In fact, putting a line on a piece of paper, like, I'm sweating real
hard. She could have come to our session tomorrow because we're doing like a four square line.
It drives me crazy because once that first line is on the paper, like, I'm stuck to that line, and that line is going to determine, did I put it right in the middle, or is it too far to the left? Am I going to have enough room to finish my picture on this side? And I just start.
So you prefer pencils over pen?
Unless I'm writing, and then I have to have a pen. I don't like
really?
Pencil.
Okay.
And if I'm drawing, then I'm going to use pencil. This
I
is
like
not about
Josh
pen.
Is grabbing his pen
this
right now.
That's important because one of our questions for the Opal Ed chat is like your reading rules or kind of like those personality quirks. Like, are you a reader with a pencil or a pen? Do you need noise? Do you need quiet? Do you need structure? Are you global? Are you analytic? And so it's really important to know those characteristics because then you can see if either you match up and you're professionally compatible with somebody or if you're complete opposite, which can also be a strength. Like, you know, I think Josh and I are very opposite, but we use that as a strength. I might, you know, sass him a little bit because he, like, dog-ears pages.
Oh, she hates it. Like, I mark up all my books, and her books are, like, pristine.
Desecrating a book.
With this, like, pencil, the pages are messy.
Who would mark in a book more?
I mean, I use a pencil.
So he can erase it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
In case my line is crooked when I'm underlining. But
10 years from now, is that pencil mark going to be there?
No. Yes.
But that is one of our questions is, like, trying to figure out your own personality so that you can either see if you're professionally compatible as a strength or weakness with somebody else.
Long story short, we cannot share books because if she loans me a book, it's going to come back all sorts of tatters.
Yeah.
And if I loan her a book, it's going to be, like, just distracting.
So, Laura, when you read a book, do you read a book or, like, when I read a book, it's like...
No, yes. Stop. Oh. That hurts.
My book right now. Undo it.
See, Scott and I...
He's doing this.
Team acronym over here.
My books are well loved, just like that.
No, that hurt. That spine hurts.
If I've underlined in a book, it is a powerful statement.
Yes.
I underline, I doodle, I dog ear, I circle.
Yes.
I write down like grocery lists.
We think this is very important in discovering your preferences.
I mean, it is, if you're going to be productive.
So, now you know that you're opposites, but you're both introverts. So what are your letters?
I am hashtag INTJ, which is the mastermind, also known as like the serial killer. So you better watch out. I mean, it's pretty much like the silent killer.
Like, Scott like scoots away from you dramatically.
Yeah.
For his life.
It's pretty much like the mastermind. Like, I can pretty much think through a lot of scenarios. You won't see that thinking, but I'm pretty much plotting a lot of demise.
Wow.
Everything she does is very intentional.
And so you are?
I'm like more of the improv type, I guess. Like,
you're ISFJ.
Let's see what happens.
Look how Laura knows exactly what Josh is.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a lot. We're like, maybe we're both narcissists too, because we're like obsessed with our personality and our interesting quirks.
Do you have a Pinterest board of your feelings?
You said that so negatively.
Because that's what the F is. Josh, I'm a T, I'm a thinker.
Josh feels.
I mean, because I think that's like so stereotypical of like ELA teachers. Like, oh, those ELA teachers are emotional. And like, that's what I hear from principals all the time. And they're like, my ELA teachers, well,
they're drama.
They're passionate, which is a nice way of saying like they are drama club emotional people. And like, I definitely am that. And I think I've talked about that before, like when we had our dad talk.
That's him.
Right here.
Oh, Crispin.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, that's really
perfect.
Thank you.
But like even like since becoming like a dad, I've become even more emotional. Like crying during Monsters Inc. and everything. I don't want to have emotions. So.
But what are you, Scott?
I am a ENFP, so I'm an extrovert. What?
You're intuitive. You're a feeler. You have feelings.
Oh, dang it! I have feelings.
Both emotional.
I find myself.
I'm a T.
Oh, the girls are T's.
Well, I'll tell you
the guys
what.
Are S.
Yeah, I feel like there's certain
you
times
feel
of feeling.
Like.
Yeah.
I feel
like at certain times of year I become very emotional.
Uh-huh.
Mostly February to May.
When
the legislature meets.
No. I just cry constantly. I'm constantly dehydrated.
And especially here recently, I found myself rubbing my forehead to like massage the vein back in because like what are you people thinking? None
it's
of this
because
is good.
You're a campaigner.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yep.
Oh.
That's your like acronym. You're a campaigner.
I am a campaigner.
See, and I'm a defender. Like I hate injustice. Like, I get really defensive and angry about that. Even like it doesn't affect me at all, but if I see it on someone else that I care about, it really affects my mood really bad.
Does your show that I'm an inventor?
What is your inventor ETV? Maybe? Yeah, you'd have to look at like
I don't know what your version says, but there are several that are like inventor.
Yes.
So I have feelings. What's the N stand for?
You're intuitive.
Oh, intuitive?
Versus observant.
Okay.
and you
have feelings.
And
I'm a prospect.
Yes, versus judging.
Okay, yeah,
we are pretty much opposites except for the end.
I didn't feel like I was assertive. Why does that say turbulent?
I think that's the A part, which is you're assertive, yeah.
Assertive.
That's
a good one. You guys are buying dinner. Assert that.
Assert it, ED.
Sniper. Yes.
Yes.
Aaron, the word is assess. go back to previous podcasts. It's hilarious. All right.
Do you want to be this?
I'm good. Okay. I'm solid.
So,
thank you.
So,
that's great that you guys have found a partnership like that. I had in my teaching experience, there was a lady that really didn't want to have anything to do with me, and so we did what she said. And she couldn't stand the fact that I had one section of her class. I went from that to a lady who we collaborated on everything, and like her kids were my kids, and my kids were her kids.
Yeah.
Like it was so awesome. Like if, let's say I missed, my kids had no problem going down to Christina and being like, well, Hazelwood's not here today. I need the quiz from yesterday, or I need the test. Like, and she's like, all right, here you go. Sit down. I mean, it was in you, Josh.
Yeah.
I got great ideas that don't need to even come out and see the light of day. Like, ideas that should never be uttered for people to hear, ever. Right?
Wait, what?
You know what I mean? Like, you get it. No. But then you have somebody that checks you and says, okay, I like that idea, but
do this with it.
But yeah, like, let's make this tweak.
Okay, that's what Laura does to me, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what my friend would do with me. I'd be like, let's try this.
It's very good. It's good to have that kind of guidance.
Yeah. And she'd be like, I don't really like that one. I think it could be better. This one is great. Let's do this to it. And then I was fine with that. Like,
well, we have been really... We've been inspired by other partnerships, and so we kind of
inspired
saw this trend. Yes, inspired Ed. We also have an introvert Ed and an impact Ed.
We had an extrovert Ed,
but we didn't do anything with it.
We just have it there, like, we'll get to it.
It's like OAS 1, speaking and listening.
It was going to be about speaking and listening.
But we saw, like, you know, just like you all have formed a partnership, like, some of our favorite authors are co-authors. Penny Kittle and Kelly Gallagher. Kylie Beers and Bob Probst.
Which I think we had that conversation too about the importance of being entrepreneurial as an educator, especially in this state where the lack of support's there.
Yeah.
We need to be more entrepreneurial and outside thinking and not really depend on the government, because who knows?
You don't know.
But I looked at those that are being very entrepreneurial.
And they have perspectives. They offer like varied perspectives that are harmonious, but also conflicting. You learn a lot from them.
Oh, that was so fun. We went and saw Penny Kittle, and she was talking about her collaboration with Kelly Gallagher, who are big in the ELA world, if you're not familiar with them. And she
I might have selfies with both of them.
We both do.
We do.
But
they're kind of our brain crushes.
We do stalk. I definitely stalk Penny Kittle.
I might like me some Kelly Gallagher.
I think lark is a better word to use, sir.
Oh, yes. Okay. I follow them.
We troll them in a good way.
Just on Twitter.
Okay, go ahead.
Except that one night when we were parked across the street.
Well, nobody's talking about that. And we were taking a picture of those.
Hey, what happens at NCTE stays at NCTE. Okay, National Council Teachers thing.
English nerds.
No, but like, they have partnerships. Yeah. They seem to work. And she was telling about the struggles with that, too, and how... When she got feedback from Kelly one time,
it was all red.
Yeah, she got red marked from him. It was like, I'm never working with him again. But then she kind of came around, and she started talking about the processes they use. And it's very similar to the processes we use. Like, they use Voxer. They collaborate using Google Docs. And it's very similar to our process. We have those apps.
Because
was it you volleyed back and forth? Was it you that used that word? Volley.
I don't know, but I definitely do that. On Boxer, if I just have an idea, I will just leave Laura like a ton of messages and then wait for her response. And then she'll usually filter out, structure out the good ideas.
But I don't comment on the bad ones.
Or kind of like what we did with the Oklahoma. What?
Okay.
Anyways.
Usually I'm like, That was like 12 ideas. Here's what I remember, because my speaking and listening are not the strongest.
Wait, what, this is like chat. I was like, here's like a bunch of questions.
What? We use it so well.
Anyways.
And they're breaking up.
It's like, I'm out.
You have just...
No, but we
have just witnessed.
Because we don't live close to each other, we have to do a lot of virtual work, so it is helpful for that distance.
And you hate it.
I just don't like voicemails, because introvert prob.
It's a walkie-talkie.
Anyways, continue.
Boxer can be used in a very introverted way, though.
It is, but I don't like voicemails. I'd rather see the text and have the text and be able to process the text.
I got to commute now.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Boxer does side have of the metro app to the option in the pro version. Yes. Which is $29 a year, you can transcribe.
Yeah.
I do like the transcription, but
it's hard.
I don't really need it.
So do you guys have a favorite question that you're going to ask? Or one that
we're
going to
ask,
like,
looking at Josh's notes, and he didn't prepare for that question.
We are.
These are my first draft. I didn't get my laptop
we're
out.
We're going to do a lot of polls, actually. So okay. We're going to bring in some poll elements to get some data.
This is not the way we've always done it.
We kind of wanted to disrupt it. So glad, chat. We wanted it to be disrupted. So we're going to do a poll with a question, and then Josh is probably going to post the questions, and I'm going to reply with additional research
to each
of the questions so that there's, like, further discussion happening. Because then it's, what, 280 now? 280 right. characters? We can't get to, like, the depth of the research of some of these questions and why we're asking them. So we are going to provide, like, a lot of background and research narrative to those questions.
But we're going to be, like, DOK 3, right?
Maybe 4.
Whoa, hold on.
Might be extended. There
you have homework.
Listen, for those of you scoring at home, that is the first time we've ever used that acronym, DOK.
We're also going to have.
Is it really?
Yeah. Like.
Oh, acronym alert.
Whoa.
And I dropped it. I'm usually.
Okay. Depth of knowledge.
DOK.
We're going to have depth of knowledge. We're going to talk effect size.
We're going to have ICANN statements.
Because effect size matters.
And we're going to post our objectives ahead of time. Like you do on a board, like if you are in a classroom.
Oh, yeah, we have an ICANN statement. Because ICANN statements ruining my chat.
Basically, we're turning into a classroom.
I don't know how people learn without ICANN statements. They're so important.
What is it right now? I can effectively tweet with a GIF as appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
I can effectively tweet using multimodal literacies. Even when the GIF, when the program, something like that. This is my second beer, sorry.
I need to know about the 0.62.
Oh, the effect size.
Yeah, what is
that? That's Hattie's research.
I took like some of the effect size from Hattie, and I forgot which effect size that directly correlates to, but it's basically about like collaborative discussion, which is what we do, and that's what happens in local ed chat. And so it just shows there's research behind having extended discussion.
Effective.
You have this research.
No, it is effective.
No,
yeah.
Can you? I need to,
yeah, it's like really effective. And like,
we are going to bring it into our chat.
I need you to.
Part of this collaboration is
it
should be more about this.
Search for
instead of networking, we should build more partnerships.
Like that.
Visible learning.
Okay. Like really deep, really powerful relationships instead of like trying to
click
network.
On this one.
That way,
and then you're
going to
get a
chart. Maybe find common interests.
I'm showing Scott the Hattie ways of effect sizes. Scroll down.
We got a slide for that.
Okay, so this is all the effect sizes.
We're gonna tweet that
out. Got a one slider. Mm-hmm. And if it's above 0.40, it has a significant impact on student learning.
Okay.
And so this chart helps you see the impact on student learning.
Yeah.
So now that you know that research, we tag all these effect sizes. And we're able to like show, yes, this is significant. It's amazing. It's like it's the co-reading that we're doing that we're totally nerding out about right now.
Well, and you've really stepped up my research game with the way you document all this. Whereas I used to keep everything on a sticky note here, on the whiteboard, and of course I'm underlinings, but I also have journals. And so
take
I
a
want
picture
to go back,
over here.
Yeah, I got like an Evernote. And then I have to go back and I find that research. I'm like, okay, was it a sticky note?
Okay,
or was
that's
it a journal?
The way I research. How do you research?
So we now have a collaborative Google Doc where we do bullet points of all the key underlinings from our reading. And then we just control F whatever we're looking for presentation, or we go back to just the text. We only had like a one page of the most significant points from that text in his books that we've collaborated on. So when we use that shared research, we're able to pull from the same sources the most important points of what we took.
And you go a little bit above and beyond because you actually print it out.
Stick it in the book. So that I don't have to reread the whole book. I just have the bullets. Hashtag Team Dr. Laura. Survival kit.
She's very proud of herself and her.
Team Dr. Scott hasn't done any of that.
Wow. But no, like, if you're going to read, the transference of that knowledge is key. So so how are you transferring and how are you organizing your thinking when you're reading? Because you're not going to refer back to it if you don't have it in an organized way. So you read something, what are you going to do with that? So we make a Google Doc sheet, and we constantly are pulling up slides.
There it is.
That's your Google Doc sheet.
Yeah.
Well, this is our one slider about Hattie and effect size and how it matters. But
so we're going to be pulling in some research with our chat.
Yeah, we're going to drop the research, which I'm grateful for you doing that work.
No, Mrs. Searcy on 12.
What is Miss?
Change Laura to Mrs. Okay.
Effect size matters.
It does.
So
reading is terrible that I almost nailed your Twitter handle. What else is a passion?
I was talking about you. I was like, I'm meeting with Aaron, Josh, and Teach from here. Scott! And my first thing was to say your Twitter handle and not your name. I was like, Teach from here. Scott.
I'm trying to look up my favorite, question. I really think it's the, most and least where you spend your time. I think that's my favorite question. I also like the in question, but I don't want to give that one away because it's a surprise.
We're going to tease it.
So, where you spend most of your time, where you spend most of your time?
Yeah, we have a question that says, what do you spend the most and least time to collaborate on with your current collaboration teams and why? And so just giving a list of ideas, do you collaborate on lesson plans, co-reading, co-writing, curriculum maps, ICANN statements, test prep? EL students accommodations, what are you collaborating on the most? What are you collaborating on the least? And why? Because I think that's something significant to think about. Are you collaborating on stuff that your district people tell you to collaborate on? Or are you going outside the box and kind of taking those endeavors on, and responsibilities on yourself?
And we're kind of addressing the issue of professional development and what it can be. Because for us, professional development is a lot of independent reading, OAS 8. But a lot of teachers don't participate in that because we don't have time. But we see it as a professional responsibility.
Sure.
So we're kind of talking about PD is and giving alternative options.
Or districts assign a book to read. You don't have much choice in it. And that's kind of sad.
Right.
You're only stuck to what districts say, here's your PD. Right. You're not going out and exploring what are you really passionate about to learn more about.
And that's why my interest is in what happens on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's because as teachers, we're choosing to go there.
Self-directed, right?
Right.
It's so much more intrinsic.
Such a high effect size.
So, So you almost knocked your water into my computer.
At least it wasn't your beer for the third time.
Yeah, it's might have been both.
And then the podcast is over.
And I was never asked back.
But we're pretty much just excited to kind of just get, instead of establishing a network, we want to try to get people to establish relationships and create action plans to come up with ways that they can collaborate effectively and in a meaningful way that has a product at the end.
Don't grow networks, grow friendships.
Yeah.
Friended. Friend-zoned?
Oh, no. I think friend-zone is bad, right?
Partnered.
I think it depends.
PD partner.
There you go. Partnered.
Oh, PD. Partner Ed.
Ed. Collaborated.
We're just ruining all the tenses. Grammar people are just going to go nuts.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott's mom. So what are, obviously I'm hearing research and reading are passions. I'm going to ask, what are your passions?
Well,
they don't have to be EDU.
I was going to say, currently my passion is spending every weekend in my office dissertating.
Yeah.
But I like to go hiking. I like to be in nature. So I like to just be outside.
There's some good trails near you.
Yes. I'm anxious for the weather to get nice because I need brain breaks. So I guess maybe that's a passion, is finding ways to take brain breaks. And that's just getting outside.
All right, what about you?
Oh, I thought we were going to... Those are not education.
She says that you don't have to be educational.
Oh, man.
Are you 24-7, 365 education, Josh?
I'm a teacher 24-7.
I mean, you named your kid Stark. So you have some other passions.
I have some other passions. I've gone to the wayside because, as a parent, you have to, like, have everything rated G, right? I think, I don't know, being a parent's pretty fun. I like reading a lot of children's books now. Like, I'm very passionate about Dog Man. It's a brilliant series.
Dog Man?
Yeah.
I didn't read Dog Man to my kids.
I mean, I still, like, I miss playing video games, but, like, when I do get a good video game, I'm pretty passionate about integrating...
What's the last really good video game?
Oh, definitely Zelda. Like, I have this whole theory about how all education should be based on The Legend of Zelda, and, like, curriculum labs, that's what it should be based on.
Is that your favorite game, Zelda?
Maybe currently. Yeah.
I'm a Tomb Raider guy myself.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Because, yeah, but you can there's so much more than just the linear, straight-through Call of Duty style.
There is?
Yeah. There's all the explore, there's the puzzle, there's all kinds of things that you can do.
Okay.
And so, like, when I play Lara Croft, I don't just, like, my son plays Tomb Raider, and he just runs through, shoots bad guys, meets objective. I, like, knock off a bad guy.
Yeah.
Go explore over here. I look on this part of the map. I try and find all the things. And there's a lot of things in Tomb Raider. It's my jam.
Well, I feel like that's the same way with Legend of Zelda. You're dropped into this world, you're scared and frightened, you're weak, and you eventually have to train yourself to grow.
I do not.
And they're talking Skyrim. About it.
Okay,
this is where Josh and I are really
I can't do Skyrim. This is too much.
Like, you can have, like, 18 different things going at once.
It's so stupid. That's, like, ridiculous.
You used the S word just now.
I sure did. Skyrim is ridiculous. I don't want to have to go, like, you got to kill that dragon, but also you got to get a job and join a club and then raise this puppy. Like, I got enough work to do in the real life. Like,
I totally get it right.
That's how Skyrim is.
No,
so join the guild, have a craft.
This is what I hate about
Josh
World of Warcraft.
Collaborated.
Yeah, World of Warcraft, I just want to go and, like, stab things.
I thought
you could, like, join guilds and have, like, you have to, like, build a skill. You have to learn to cook and plant.
I thought we could be friends, Josh, things. But apparently not.
We just RPG at different ends of the spectrum. Like, we cannot roleplay together.
Do you remember playing
That's
going to
be taken out of context. Delete that. Delete that right now.
Okay, do you remember playing Legend of Zelda for the first time when you were little?
And it was brilliant. Yes.
Wasn't it awesome?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, huh?
Do-do-do.
I played Pong.
Pong or Kong?
Pong.
Oh, yeah.
Beer?
No.
Got awkward suddenly.
I did play some Contra.
You played Contra?
I was pretty good at Contra.
I didn't know you played Contra.
I mean, I can't talk about it.
Do you like the top screen or the bottom screen?
I don't
screen,
know. Right? That's about the extent of my knowledge.
I love the heat-seeking
I played a little GoldenEye.
Oh, no? GoldenEye, yes.
Okay. I played some
That's
Duck
my passion.
Hunt.
That's a long answer to say that's my passion.
GoldenEye?
Video games.
Video games, yes.
Gamification. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paul. James Paul.
Got some fights. You know, I think that was the downfall of society, is like bringing in online gaming. Because back in the day, you had to split the screen, and if you talk smack to your friends, they could punch you.
Yes.
Yeah, because they were in the same room.
Empathy. Yeah. You learn empathy real quick.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
safe.
You. So what's on the horizon? What's your next project that the two of you are working on?
We are presenting tomorrow at the Oklahoma Reading Association on Read a Lot.
So that would be last week?
Yes, and so we published an article and we presented. Okay, yeah, we published an article and we presented. We've published on Write a Lot, and we're also doing some item writer review. But we have lots.
That's what the State Department, right?
We want to do an ebook too.
Yeah, we're working on something with writing guides.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about that.
Are the two of you going to write a book together?
That's what
the ebook, I think, hopefully will be. Take all this research, condense it down, and make it practical for teachers.
What platform are you using?
Google Docs. Google Docs is live. Like, I got this Google Docs tattoo. I'm so hardcore.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Like, my mom would kill me if I got tattoos.
Right at the bottom of your back, like right above your booty, a tramp stamp.
Google Docs for life.
Says Google Docs for life.
It's right next to my Napster tag.
Hashtag HyperDoc.
Hashtag Zanga. I was Team Zanga. Yeah, so we constantly have projects, and we're kind of just building what we call our CV lines. We're a little bit addicted to getting these CVs, curriculum vitae lines for our resumes. And so we've built up at least probably 20 different projects.
What does that mean?
Like on a resume, like presentations and publications, we're building up entries for that.
We presented nationally.
Yeah.
We presented nationally on advocacy and standards. We teamed up with Dr. Craig Hill to present that.
And we've been to Arkansas. We presented with Penny Kittle in our audience.
Yeah, and she gave us she
good
liked our stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I couldn't talk to her because I was
You were fanboying?
I was totally fanboying. Yeah. So I just kind of stepped back and I just let her talk to Laura.
But the story that we were kind of sharing was we realized that at Camp Middell, when we threw together an introverted session, that's where we really like to spend our time. If we do at camps or conferences, mm-hmm. we just want to be in a session where we can read and research and talk one-on-one. And that's pretty much how we operate, which I know breaks all Ed Camp rules because we also brought in PowerPoint slides.
You guys
not
had a great,
slides.
You had a great iPad Palooza session.
Yes, we did a
Bitmoji
and HyperDocs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got a lot of positive feedback on that. Yeah. I think one of the cool things that we started doing was using Flipgrid. Uh-huh. And so, when you do just a one-shot PD, it's here it is, okay, bye.
Right.
But we said, leave your questions for us. Then we go and we record responses to people's questions on Flipgrid.
That's awesome.
And so we have this archive of responses that we can build up for every single one of our presentations.
And that can make each presentation better.
Have you guys shared that? I haven't seen it.
Yep.
Have you shared it?
I'm hanging out.
Missed
it.
Out.
We'll tweet it out tomorrow or this weekend.
For the chat? That's awesome.
I used to tweet just stuff out first draft all the time. I found out in this partnership, she's really helped me to slow down. So I put out maybe less stuff, but it's higher quality.
Yeah.
So it's longer last. And then I slow her down just because I'm slow.
No. We call
especially
it lexile level weights. I'm kind of a heavyweight when it comes to the lexile level. Josh is pretty much a lightweight when it comes to lexile level.
That's
levels.
A fancy way of saying she reads fast.
No.
Yeah.
She inhales books and I'm I'm on page 30. I feel pretty good about it. So I'm done.
Yes.
What?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm I'm a slow reader.
No.
And when I get to the end of the page, the end of the page might be like, the bad guy approaches the door with his gun pulled. He opens the door and I'm like, oh, what's going to happen next? I don't know. And all my English friends are like, whoever's on the other side of the door is getting shot, guy. And I turn the page and I'm like, the guy shot him. What is happening?
This is what we're like. This is our feeler part. We're romantics with literature. Yeah. We take our time.
I'm a thinker.
Why not
dine
it?
Just
one and done it. Out.
I can read 2,376 words a minute.
I can write a 200-page dissertation.
Oh, I can't believe you went there. Listen,
yikes.
We don't.
Yikes.
Page numbers
we
don't matter.
We don't shame.
Page
no
numbers don't matter.
Shame.
My blog post can sometimes get to page 2. Sometimes. So.
I can pretty much produce multiple drafts of chapters in a weekend.
Wow.
Which I just did. Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Congrats.
Cheers,
yeah.
Indeed.
So many to do is done.
Sorry.
Root beer. Cheers.
The PhD stuff sounds hard, but I am impressed that after your MBA, I gotta say this publicly, your National Board podcast, damn, Scott's on a whole other level in my book.
Yeah.
But I always have this secret strategy to surround myself with people smarter than me, and it's worked out for me really well.
Sitting at a table where everybody's brilliant.
I'm a dumbass.
Here's the deal. I had a conversation one time with one of my professors, and I was talking with another student who is also in the PhD program, and I'm like, but you're brilliant. The things that you share and talk about are amazing. And we started, and she's like, no, you're brilliant. And then the third, it just happened to be like there was four or five of us in there. And we were each like in awe of the other, of their brilliance. And one of the faculty happened to walk into the same meeting. I mean, it really was like one of those things, like right out of the movie, like one person shows up, the next. And the professor goes, think about what you're doing. You're pursuing this thing that requires dedication, requires some brains, and it requires hard work. And you guys are like at the top of this thing. And I think what's happening, so I would turn that to you guys. Like, you're seeking out to be the best in your profession.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're seeking out to be, like, we're all seeking, that's why we're here eating dinner tonight. We're seeking out to be the best in our profession. And when you do that, you're surrounded by brilliant people, and you always feel like you're the least brilliant one. But you're contributing to that conversation. Like, you're not, like, your specialty is a vital piece of that thing, whether it doesn't matter what the designation behind is, but like your contributions to that conversation are key because they're unique to that conversation. And I thought that was really interesting the way she was saying
that. That is pretty, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, that's really deep, and professionally, we should all be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, that is our professional responsibility. And
right.
I know that some people are like, well, they don't feel comfortable. We'll get comfortable.
That's,
we
that's
need
the
you.
Thing.
We need
yeah.
you to like naysay or even
don't
have some
stagnant.
Ideas.
So like in my journey through this discussion with Twitter, I've met a lot of people who don't share because they don't feel like they have anything to contribute. And like, you have so much to contribute because everything that you can share is a contribution.
As long as you're
I mean,
willing
you know,
to learn.
The picture of the salad at lunch, not so much. But but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a resource that you have, that's unique to you. If you have an experience from your class of what you've done, that's unique to you, and we can all grow from that. So, I don't know.
I mean, I think you said it, like, didn't you talk about that in the last podcast, too, about you follow people intentionally who usually disagree with you because you want that perspective, too, and it only strengthens what you're doing in your argument.
I don't know if I said that exactly, but I do try to follow people.
You alluded to
that. Yeah.
You definitely alluded to that.
I
like,
try not,
really
I try not to have an echo chamber on social media, which is
easy to happen.
Yes.
It's easy.
Well, and that's what I really like about our partnership, because we get the multiple perspectives. Like, I represent, like, the majority of teachers. I'm young, white, female. I have that perspective. But Josh has different perspectives because of who he is and his experiences. And so when we get together, like, we are able to address multiple perspectives. So we're not an echo chamber, I would say, because you're trying to disrupt. You know, and so we bring that diversity, I feel.
Right.
I thought you were the rule breaker. I'm the rule follower.
I'm the rule follower.
What?
But, right. that's like with Aaron and I. Like, I'm passionate in public school, and Aaron works in a charter. And we're both passionate for where we are.
And he's very logical of mind, and I got into teaching for the summer job.
Cheers to that. Summer job.
I don't believe that for a second.
That is like the highest incentive right now.
This has been really long, so.
Oh, is it like too long?
I don't know.
I could go on and on because I love y'all. Like, this
we,
is great.
We could go on and on. But I think
I
we did. Should.
I do think so. I've got people at the tweet up right now that are from Owasso.
Anxious for you.
Yeah.
Saying, you're doing fine, Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Okay.